It's so great to be part of the Book of Acts, one of the most exciting books in the Bible, you know, because the Acts still continue, the Acts not just of the apostles, but of believers all across the world. And God is doing amazing things. You know, the church is growing, the church is healthy. We call about the global south, you know, we talk about that, where the church has moved from the north to the south in South America, in Africa, South Korea. There are so many nations where God's kingdom is coming. And so when we look at the book of Acts in chapter 8 specifically, it's a very important chapter for the launch of the church into the world. You know, we have to preach the gospel. Remember, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, they receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. The gospel needs to find its effect in all of the different cultures, all of the different areas, right in your family, in your culture, across the railway line, in another culture just next to you, but then in different nations, ethnic groups, and then to the uttermost ends of the earth. And this is the fulfillment of that Acts chapter 1 verse 8 verse, because we see in the first part, in verse 1 to 4, we see your great persecution arose. We see the steadfastness of the apostles, but Saul specifically came to brutally murder the Christians. And so the first martyrs, you know, the blood of the martyrs is so important. You know, they have a special place in heaven when there's the witness of those people. And remember, all the apostles died a martyr's death eventually because they witnessed to God's goodness. But I want to focus on verse 5 to 13 specifically about this one guy called Philip. Now, Philip is not one of the disciples of the 12. Philip is this is another Philip, one of the seven that was set apart in the chapter 6 specifically to serve tables. And so Philip was a really, really evangelist. And so here he goes to Samaria. And we all know the story of Samaria and the Samaritans. Just to give us a feedback a little bit, what happened about 600 BC is there was the Babylonian captivity. And so what happened is the Jewish nation were divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And so the southern kingdom was taken captive and taken away to Babylon. And so the northern kingdom, they mixed with a lot of people, and their headquarters was Samaria. The southern kingdom was Jerusalem. And so they had different tribes, different people coming in. So there was just such a mixture of different nations. But the southern kingdom focused on being Jews, even in their captivity. And so when Ezra and Nehemiah came, it was restored. Jerusalem was built back. We see this beautiful history. But now there was this contention between the northern guys and the southern guys, because the Jews in the south said, look here, we are not going to mix with the northern guys, the Samaritans. They are half Jews. They're in between all these other nations and Jews. They've got different cultures. And so there was really a division between these two groups. And so here Philip goes to Samaria. He goes across the cultural line. He goes to those ones that the Jews thought were not accepted by God. They mix, they compromise. And the Holy Spirit starts to fall. And so there's this beautiful dealings of how the kingdom came and how it was restored. And now suddenly the Holy Spirit started to fall. And we see this movement. And even with the persecution, how a lot of Jews had to move out of Jerusalem, out of the place, you know, and the gospel was spread. Not through like, hey, hear me, pick me, Jesus. It was simply because of persecution. And they didn't want to go. So we see this tension in the church. They were so comfortable, they were so wrapped in their culture, and God wanted them to go. And so here they go. And so we see this beautiful thing of the gospel for everyone. That's what I learned in this first part. The gospel is not reserved for a specific group of people. The gospel is for children, for older people, you know, and sometimes when we hang on to our doctrines and we just get stuck in our doctrine, you know, I had somebody in this week just telling me, hey, no, if you don't understand your salvation, then you're not really saved. And I said, sure, but what about the four-year-old? What about the five-year-old? You know, can't they get saved? Because they're not going to understand their salvation. They're going to just have an experience with Jesus. What about Saul on the road to Damascus, or the guy on the cross next to Jesus? He didn't understand his salvation, because it's God's grace reaching out. And so we see this tension in the church as the gospel went there for everyone, for the Samaritans especially. And they were so hungry for the truth. They were so hungry to find an identity, because they had a shame-based culture and the Jews were looking down at them. And so God especially loves the outcasts and the fatherless and the orphans. because they are hungry and they say, we need an identity. And that's what we see in the first couple of verses. Then verse 14 to 25, there's this guy following the apostles called Simon, you know. And you can almost just write over there, the sin of simony, you know. We see that a lot in the church, and this is something that had to be dealt with, because Simon wanted to buy the anointing. Simon wanted to make money because he saw that he was a fortune teller. He made a lot of money. And so he said, that which you want, which you have, I want, you know. So he wanted to buy the things of God. And we know that we cannot buy the gifts of God. You know, unfortunately, especially in the West, we have commercialized the gospel. And so I love this piece in the gospel spreading. Immediately they had to deal with this issue. And so when the apostles turns to Simon, he says, you are full of iniquity. You are bound by iniquity, you know, because there was something in Simon's heart that needed deliverance. He needed to be set free because that greed, that lust. And we see a lot of pastors. We see a lot of people working for God, but making money out of that. Stay away from people like that. You know, because we need to deal with that. Because when the Holy Spirit starts to move, it's so easy to quench the Holy Spirit. Because there's another spirit that feels like the Holy Spirit. It's called the spirit of greed. It's called lust. It's called the love of money, you know. It's that thing that replaces, and it feels so close to that. And that's why it's so important that we realize certain gifts, you know, you cannot buy it. Gifts are the covers gifts. It's the grace gifts of God. And so the last part then of this chapter is verse 26 to 40, where we see this beautiful story of Philip waking up in the morning and running to the desert. And there he finds the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, beautiful things we can learn. You know, the first part is just, hey, the gospel is for everyone. Second part is the gospel cannot be bought. And then the third one is the gospel goes with those who are implicitly obedient. And we see the story of Philip rushing. And there he finds this Ethiopian eunuch that came from Jerusalem. He was really seeking after God. And he was reading Isaiah. And when he was reading that, Philip connected with him. Isn't that amazing? I think if the Holy Spirit would say to us maybe today, hey, stop, leave everything, run into the desert, we'll say, no, Lord, I want five signs, you know. We don't need no implicit obedience anymore. But that's what pleases God. And so eventually, in this story, it's so beautiful because this Ethiopian eunuch was a servant of Candace. Now, Candace wasn't a name of these ladies that were leading the whole of Ethiopia. It was simply the priest or the prophetesses and the people that were really up there. But this guy, eventually, tradition says, preached the gospel in Ethiopia and many, many churches were planted. But there was such a divine appointment. Imagine Philip missed this appointment because he baptized the guy, he preached the gospel out of the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. It's just beautiful story of God connecting with somebody, and that guy's heart was prepared. So what do we learn about that? What we can see is that God, every day, I believe, every believer has got one divine appointment. God wants to have an appointment with people around you. And sometimes we just need to be in that moment. Sometimes it's just, hey, God loves you. Let's not be quiet. Let's not be indifferent as the church in this time. But God wants to meet people around us. And so this beautiful story of how a whole nation was affected by one man's obedience to reach one other person. Because it's the one that counts with God. It's not the masses. It's the one. It's maybe your neighbor. And that neighbor or the child next door can become the new president of the nation. So never, never neglect being obedient to God in every moment. And I've seen that so many times where God would meet somebody and I realized God has worked with this person for many years already. And so let's look for the hungry ones. Let's look for those divine appointments and let's ask God, say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Just like Philip did, you know, by being obedient. So I'm going to pray for that implicit obedience in our hearts that we won't question God, but trust him and walk in his ways. Father, we want to thank you that you've called us to a life of faith and obedience. We know that's what pleases you. And we pray again today, Lord, that you'll stir our hearts to see your kingdom come in our workplace, in our families, wherever we go, Father, let your kingdom come. Holy Spirit, we repent that so many times we quench you and we grieve you, Lord, through our sinning, through our disobedience. But Lord, come and work in our hearts again, Lord, and stir in us our heart, Lord. to really see the nations turn to you like this first church that rose up and said yes to your authority and yes to your gospel. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.